Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 8 today. Welcome back to the end of the world as we know it. Chapter 7 was a break in the chaos. Now in chapter 8, the storm returns. We're back in heaven as Jesus holds the scroll. Could be the title deed to the earth. Could be the will of God. Six seals have been broken, one to go. Verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. It is interesting what a powerful statement that silence makes. Silence is the sound of awe. Silence is the sound of humility. Silence is time to think, to ponder, and wait. After the loud shout of praise from the countless multitude, everyone goes quiet. 30 minutes. Why? I don't know. It may shock you to discover that I, your teacher and guide, don't have all the answers. Turns out, I'm a fellow traveler just like you. In fact, back in chapter 7, an elder asked John a question about the vision, and he didn't know. Back in Daniel's prophecies and visions, Daniel confesses that even he was confused at times. Prophecy is like that. So here's my question. Why did God make this book so challenging to understand? So much mystery and symbolism. Why not just tell us plainly? Well, I asked God about that, and funny enough, he answered me in a Through the Word study from one of our other teachers. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings." I like that. What it means is, God creates mysteries. He conceals. It shows us his glory. But mankind has a glory as well. We search things out. It is a kingly thing to dig and uncover. We are made to be full of wonder. God doesn't conceal to make a thing unknowable. He conceals to make us dig. Because there's something that we learn in the digging. More than just information, experience. Like Proverbs 2. Search for insight, cry aloud for understanding, and you will gain the knowledge of God. Remember, that's what this book is about, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of who he is. So dig in, ask, seek, knock. One of my favorite quotes from A.W. Tozer. He said, "How tragic that we in this dark day have had our seeking done for us by our teachers. We have been snared in the coils of a spurious logic, which insists that if we have found him, we need no more seek him." So, you may notice that I make it a point to not answer every question. I want you to dig. I want you to uncover. But what if we mess up? What if we disagree? It's okay. It's healthy. It's humbling. That's good for you. Just watch out for pride. Avoid fruitless debates. And remember, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Case in point. There's a disagreement among us on one big question. Does the church go through the tribulation? Now, as I read it, no. The church is raptured up before the tribulation because God has not appointed us to wrath. Back in chapter 3, God promised his church, "I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world." And the word church is never once used in the tribulation section. However, there are people smarter than me on both sides of this argument. That's okay. You and I can keep on digging. Now, back in chapter 8. I think the 30 minutes is up. Verse 2. "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them." Now, those seven trumpets will be important. But first, pay attention to verse 3. You got to picture this one. "Another angel who had a golden censer," that's an incense holder, "came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer, with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand." Okay, incense and prayer come up to God together. If you remember the layout of the temple, the golden altar of incense comes right before the mercy seat of God. And incense symbolizes prayer, sweet-smelling, slowly rising up to God. And watch what happens to that incense. Verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. That was awesome. Our prayers drift up to God like incense, and they crash down to earth like lightning. Peals of thunder, earthquake. This is the image that God uses for prayer. This is Bible. Prayer mixed with fire from the altar, God's fire, not ours, and the results are powerful. Prayers like, "Thy kingdom come." Lord, do whatever it takes to save my lost family. Lord, bring back my prodigal. And the prayer of the martyrs back in chapter 6, "Avenge our blood. We leave it to you, Lord." After the thunder, the seven trumpets begin. This is the second series of judgments. First we saw the seals, now the trumpets. Verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. This is serious stuff. Judgment comes down hard. What is it all exactly? It's hard to say, but I do know this. It will be easy to identify when it happens. Some have matched this up with the destruction of meteorites. Something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. Could be. Or massive volcanoes. Or it could be a nuclear war. That one is an impressively close match. A lot matches up. In nuclear tests in the 50s, fire and hail showered down. The third trumpet looks a lot like nuclear fallout. Interesting, the star called wormwood in verse 11. Wormwood is a plant. In Ukraine, it's called Chernobyl. Happens to be the location of the largest nuclear accident to date. Maybe a coincidence, maybe not. Listen, we should not forget the reality that we are all a few buttons away from worldwide destruction. The fourth trumpet, darkness. And the chapter ends with a warning. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe." This woe is given to the inhabitants of the earth. The wording used indicates more than just where they live. It means those who live for the earth. Just as believers live for heaven, there are those who live for earth. But why the warnings? And why so much destruction? Why doesn't God just skip to the end and get it over with? Hebrews 12 talks about God shaking the heavens and the earth. It explains that God shakes the earth for the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. See, God shakes things up, earthquake, flood, darkness, whatever it takes, to remove what can be shaken, to help us let go of the temporary. For those foolish enough to gain the whole world but forfeit their soul, He shakes the world. Let it go. But there are some who just won't let go. For them, the eagle shouts, "Woe! Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels."
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.